Caribou Bike Show, and news and views of cycling in Portland and beyond. Thanks, Caribou members, for your general support, your generous support, and for your community, for this, your community radio station. If you are not a current member, you can become one by going to caribou.fm and clicking on Donate Today. Good night, Nicole.
Good night, Jared. Mm-hmm. And stay tuned for Out Loud next.
As citizens of a so-called democratic society, we need to have information that ranges from A to Z, not what we have, which is A to B.
KABU is proud to present An Evening with David Barsamian, Wednesday, March 4th, 7 to 9:30 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater. All proceeds will benefit KABU Community Radio. One of America's most tireless and wide-ranging investigative journalists, David Barsamian is the host of Alternative Radio. Again, that's An Evening with David Barsamian, Wednesday, March 4th at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Women's Day this Sunday for live music from the KABU studios from 7 to 10 p.m. Shirley Certain and Just Jess will host Annie Dang, Rachel Taylor Brown, and Butterfly Breakdown, as well as some recordings from the KABU live music archive. That's 7 p.m. this Sunday for International Women's Day.
Shake, 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 shake. Come on now and move your hips in. Shake, 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 shake.
This KABU program is made possible in part by KABU Foundation members and a grant from Portland's Gay Directory, providing a resource guide of openly gay-friendly businesses, organizations, and services since 1996. New smartphone app available for all iPhones and Droids. For more information, you can visit gaypdx.com.
This program is made possible in part by KABU Foundation members and a grant from Radio Cab, serving the metro area since 1946 with service 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. Radio Cab offers airport service, wheelchair accessible vans, and can be reached at 503-227-1212. In Vancouver at 360-694-1234 or radiocab.net.
Hello, listeners. You're listening to KBOO Portland. This KABU program has been made possible in part by KABU Foundation members and a grant from Clackamas Community College Theater presenting The Laramie Project, a stage production based on extensive interviews of citizens of Laramie, Wyoming in the aftermath of the murder of Matthew Shepard in 1998. The Laramie Project runs from February 26th through March 8th at the Osterman Theater. And ticket information is available at clackamas.edu/theater or by calling 503-594-3153. Up next is Out Loud.
Good evening, dear listeners. Welcome to Out Loud here on KBOO. We are coming to you from Southeast Portland. We're excited to have some folks here on Out Loud. You just heard a little plug for the Laramie Project. We're going to have some folks who are involved in that production on the show a little bit later. I want to give you a heads up about an event on Thursday. It's called Untangling the Knot. It's a new book that's put out by Portland State University's Press, called Oligan Press. Untangling the Knot is a whole collection of stories about 19 authors on queer voices, on marriage, relationships, and identity. So I think it's kind of a look at where marriage fits in where we are in our community and where we are in our lives and what we celebrate and what we value and what we prioritize. And anyway, it's a launch party this Thursday, 6 p.m. at PSU's Smith Memorial Student Union, room 294. And we hope to have some of those authors on a show coming up very soon. I'm super excited. Some of those folks I've been working on getting on this program for quite a while. So I think it'll be exciting. With us here, we have Thomas from Wild Planet Radio.
Hello, hello.
And he's going to tell us about... He's going to tell us about Portland's newest queer radio station.
Hello, hello.
Welcome, Thomas. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me again. It's so nice to be here on the Out Loud program here at KABU.
Absolutely. What are you doing this week?
Let's see. A billion different things. Wild Planet Radio is taking off in every single direction. We've announced our pre-launch countdown, so we are counting down to the days that we actually do flip that switch and take the FM airwaves. We're negotiating contracts for our future involvements with events this countdown period. We've also developed some sponsorship packages and some different support options for people to get involved with Wild Planet Radio. We are narrowing down and focusing on our shows that we've currently developed. We're working with different community members that offer different content each day. So we're really trying to fine tune those and make them something great to offer. Inviting guests in, as always, to give our support for our community and also showcase people that are doing good work and really just making radio happen. It's been a lot of fun.
Wonderful. Can you tell me what are the hours that Wild Planet will be broadcasting?
So because of the ability of the internet, Wild Planet is 24/7 worldwide through online. And then also when we go ahead and take that final step for the FM airwaves, we're doing a timeshare agreement where we'll be broadcasting from 3 p.m. to 3 a.m. And we're also sharing time with the Portland Radio Project, which will be taking those other opposite hours of 3 a.m. to 3 p.m.
All right. That's 7 days a week.
That is 7 days a week. All it's right, very exciting.
That's pretty awesome. Where on the dial?
We're going to be at 99.1, so it'll be the nation's first LGBTQ station between the two country stations, so easy to find.
Wonderful. So you're working on getting towards your launch.
We are. We had to take a lot of steps in order to make this happen. I mean, from way back when of getting the initial understanding of how to apply for a radio license, then also making partnerships with a nonprofit. Then, of course, you have to find your tower space and you have to zone it and make sure it's there. Then you need to hire an engineer to make sure that everything is proper and in line with the FCC requirements. Then you need to hire someone to climb up that large tower and install an antenna, which we have done, and I would have to say it was one of the proudest days ever to be downtown Portland and turning on a car radio and hearing our test CDs. And so we're excited. We still need to finalize some contracts. Of course, we're dealing with the Portland Public School Districts in order to lease that space. Also our radio partners, the Portland Radio Project. But everything's looking great, and it's just a couple of signatures away.
Wonderful. How far will the signal travel?
You know, we tested it and we were so impressed. We did a really good job of choosing a location that would transmit to as much of Portland as possible. So we definitely will include all of Portland Metro. It goes as far out as Clackamas, almost to Selwood, up into Vancouver. So we really do have a great coverage here in Portland. And then, of course, with the internet worldwide, which has been our finest results because we've been streaming online for over 2 years.
Mm-hmm. Can you give us a sense of what kind of programming you're planning for Wild Planet?
You know, we wanted to be really inviting with this project and not make it really one direction. We really wanted to ask our community what the needs are. You know, so Bobby and I put together a few proposals to represent some groups that maybe might not want to come forward just to interview or showcase their own work. So far, we're showcasing a lot of queer music, a lot of education. We have a lot of interviews, a lot of public service awareness. We would like to let people know who's doing what, where, and how to find them, and also give that personal note to them, especially if we're going to be supporting or joining in those events. I'm going to be starting a show on Friday nights, Glitz. It's the know the show and the go. It will be really fun, interactive. It's broke up in three parts and really just kind of let you know of what you might have missed, what definitely look forward to, and then honestly what we're showcasing for the week. We have an electronic dance music show. We're going to have John Pock from Mezzaluna Catering starting Talking With Our Mouths Full, which will be a food-based type of show. We have Miss Bolivia Carmichael's, the fabulous queen of CC Slaughter's, hosting a show she calls The Show, which is a lot like The Talk or The Sue. It's just really interactive and a lot of interviewing and really fun. And that's kind of our basics for right now. We didn't want to have it going clear across the board. We wanted to have daily representation of all of the alerts and the announcements, still offering great music, but really not flooded with a bunch of cause or need quite yet. With the ability of having the internet, we're inviting in a series of podcasts. So we have a little bit more of an open structure on that, saying if you come prepared with a show idea, we'd be more than happy to produce it for you.
Tell us what that would look like.
So let's say you wanted to talk about roofing, for example, and you had the step-by-step tools on giving the society different tips and trades of how to do your own roof. I mean, we would be able to guide you through the audio guidance of that type of offering. And so it would be kind of in a separate category that anyone that was looking for that type of information would hear it personally from a professional. So not so much causey or alertness or news, but really just personal types of life offerings.
And what sort of assessment process? I can't think of the word, but how do you decide... How are you going to decide who gets on the air?
Well, honestly, it has been a little tricky, you know, because in the beginning you need to have people participate and you want to support all ideas. Mm-hmm. And so without having a direct need as far as showcasing any type of particular content, we kind of opened it up just to see what we got. And a lot of people are newer with the process. And so the interviewing part has been really strong, which we feel is a great way to get those voices out there to the community. We haven't narrowed down specifically targeted need for our community quite yet, but we are more than willing to brainstorm and work together with professionals to offer that. News, we do a daily news update. We try our best to give whatever queer news updates we can gather, and we present that on our air every day at noon so people can at least keep in that type of format. And then also like this new introduction of, we have a writing show that's coming up that's going to be introducing authors and doing some different showcases pieces, having some readings. So just kind of taking a creative flow to our shows rather than asking for like a direct need. We're really letting people develop their own place in Wild Planet and hoping that that is a wonderful invitation for our community.
Sounds wonderful. So you don't have a launch date yet, but you're
we've had quite a few launch dates, to be honest. And I was just reminding people that the beauty of this project is we will always be launching beautiful things. I mean, by supporting our community and working with them through the step-by-step process of training them with all of the use of the equipment, also showing them the stats that we've learned about what people's attention spans are, the directions that as Wild Planet we would love for them to support. It takes time. And in order to develop those, we need to showcase those and launch those. As far as the actual flip the switch on the FM, the only date I can give you is as soon as we can sign all those contracts, because we have been ready to go for over a year with our programming. So we're very excited for the opportunity. We know the life of Wild Planet is definitely in combination with online presence. So we've really been focusing on having that balance between knowing that Wild Planet will survive forever on the internet and that this FM is just going to be an added bonus for all of our community.
How about a gala to celebrate the launch?
I think we did a gala, a party, you know, some popcorn movie types of fun stuff. We just recently did our pre-launch party, which was very successful. Lots of people have gotten involved in this project from every group you can imagine. And to have all of those people in the room together receiving our prizes and letting us feed them and really just celebrating, giving them studio tours, giving them access to Wild Planet, it was a life-changing event. So there will be lots more celebrations and community involvements involved. We're working right now during this launch countdown on releasing a event calendar schedule for our year, so everyone knows what to expect from Wild Planet as far as the things that we are going to be creating and offering. Of course, we're always willing to support or show up at anyone else's goodwill or good deeds out there in the world. So yeah, it should just be an exciting adventure, I think, moving forward.
Yeah, and Wild Planet has a relationship with Q Center.
They do.
Which has been a great thing.
Absolutely,
to help get this
it has. You know, as getting this opportunity, it was such a small time frame, and there were so many different requirements in order to even be considered for a low power license. And one of those requirements is to team up with a nonprofit, where Wild Planet Radio at the time was simply just an internet offering of podcasts and playing music. We hadn't developed the structure of nonprofit. So in order to move forward, we needed to be fiscally sponsored. So we chose Q Center. We really appreciated their mission statements and their invitation to accepting all of the community. And we thought, as a radio station, that should also be something we should mirror. It's been a great relationship. They've given us a place to grow, to incubate, to turn into something that's a little larger. And they've also shown us that the steps of Wild Planet is to be an equal member of our community, is to also go forward on being a nonprofit, to offer that invitation to our community to be able to showcase and support themselves. So yes, the Q Center has been a wonderful place. I can only say beautiful things about the experience, and I don't know where Wild Planet Radio would be without that connection. So it's been a blessing.
Wonderful. Where do folks find Wild Planet online now?
So wildplanetradio.com is the quickest way for you to volunteer. You can sign up for sponsorships. There's membership options. You can check out all of our current audio content. We also keep a bank of our podcasts and our different performances that you can access. For those of you that are very interested in the whole history of Wild Planet Radio, we have done an excellent job of keeping track of all of our audio, all of our event presences. We've got pictures, we've got dates through either Facebook or Wild Planet Radio. So that would be wildplanetradio.com. Also, there's Tumblr, there's Twitter. So a simple start would be wildplanetradio.com.
Wonderful. You brought us some music.
I did. I came prepared from Wild Planet. We, like I said, just did a pre-launch party, and we've had such beautiful support from our artist. Jeremiah Clark is releasing his CD, which having a CD party on Saturday, March 7th, 2015 at the Laurelhurst Public House. The doors open at 9, the show's at 9:30. It's a $10 cover. He's got some other guests there. It's Jeremiah and the Reasons Why album release party, and we brought a special track.
Thank you.
Wild Planet Radio.
Would you like to know more?
To be a voice for the LGBTQ community.
By helping people share their stories and ensuring that the stories of LGBTQ people are heard.
To offer programming that inspires,
uplifts, and encourages
all people.
Having an LGBTQ radio station for our community enables wider freedom of expression,
the breaking down of isolation,
and the celebration of our cultural achievements and pride.
And why we're still
sending so many kids to bed empty and crying. When will they have enough? Someone else is the law to protect security. They lie in state for our country. About exactly where you are. And everyone wants to tell us what we shouldn't do, but they don't want to do anything about United States dividing. Tell me what happened to that little golden rule that worked so long before the bulls had to stay. And they're the only ones denying. Something's gotta change. Something's gotta change. Something's gotta change.
All right. That was a little bit of Jeremiah Clark. His launch release party, Thomas, is
Wild Planet Radio.
And Jeremiah's launch release is
His launch release party is Saturday, March 7th, 2015 at the Laurel Thirst Public House. Doors open at 9. Show is at 9:30. Is there $10 cover? Ages 21 up. Come out and support Jeremiah. He's a very, very large supporter of Wild Planet Radio, and we are happy to announce his album release party.
Yeah, and you can find him on Bandcamp. If you want to hear his music,
you can listen to him on Wild Planet Radio.
You can listen to him on Wild Planet Radio. So that's Jeremiah Clark. We're excited to hear the rest of his new record. That track was United States Dividing. So we're talking about Wild Planet Radio, which is about to become Portland's first FM LGBTQ radio station, as well as the country's.
Absolutely. It was hard for us to believe in the beginning, you know, because we really did reach out there, and we were a little insecure if we would move forward on a project like this, how well it would be received, because there were so many showcase programs like your program that were really, you know, inviting our community in. And it was such a shocker that everyone that we asked, you know, what do you think about an LGBTQ station? No one could believe that there wasn't already one in existence. So I'm very happy that we're leading this fight, and we will be one of the first in the United States. So yay, Wild Planet.
So we just touched very briefly a few minutes ago on how folks can get involved, from memberships to creating their own shows to volunteering. Let's dig into that a little bit.
Absolutely. So, of course, the first point would be definitely go to wildplanetradio.com. There are plenty of icons there depending on what you're interested in. We're always looking for volunteers, like I had mentioned earlier in the program. We're going to be offering a calendar of our involvement as far as events, and we would love volunteer support. We have asked enough community members to volunteer for this initial phase of our radio programming. We're still interested in those that are interested in the process of learning to do radio. We have a training program. It is important for us to move this through phases, so we're not missing out on anyone, and we're also not missing the opportunity to move the shows that we're currently working with forward. Mm-hmm. So volunteering to be a part of the radio, doing some support staff, always is welcome. Also, we're very, very excited to be offering our membership program, which is the first time Wild Planet Radio has done this. We wanted to make sure that we had plenty to offer before we asked people to invest in Wild Planet. So at this time, we have both an annual and a monthly membership with all the perks and all the benefits that you can locate on wildplanetradio.com. If you have any interest or any need as far as getting the word out, of course, one of our show hosts would be more than happy to invite you on as a guest and get that ball rolling, and just always keep up with us at Wild Planet to see what we're doing, because it's always something fun.
Wonderful. Tell us about your show, Glitz.
So Glitz, we brainstormed really early on. Bobby, the executive producer, director, guider, the radio god, and I, we started a little podcast we called PBR, Pookie's Bubbles Radio. And we set it up into segments where we did a happy headline, a Rose City Roundup, meaning that we said something free or goodwill to do in the city of Portland, and then also whatever queer news update that we wanted to put together. That was a kind of a simple offering to encourage people to feel safe in bringing us their content, that they didn't necessarily need to be radio pros in order for us to create programs. But in the realization of having an FM presence, we knew that we needed to have updates, and we needed to have alerts, and we needed to have sponsorship involvements, and we needed to have showcase. So we thought, with my show, Glitz, it being flowing, it would take up a time requirement of 6 to 9 on a Friday night, end of the week, and it would give us more than enough content to announce anything that we needed to recover or let people know that they might have missed in the week. Also showcasing any of the new development of music or talent or any type of show we could possibly imagine, and then also telling everyone what to look forward to. So simple updates. It's not a hard program to follow along, but it is something to tune into if you are interested in what's going on with Portland and what's going on with Wild Planet.
So folks out there, if you have something of a nascent idea, something's bubbling up in the back of your mind about what would make a great radio program and a possible fit with Wild Planet, let those bubbles keep bubbling.
Absolutely.
And when you start to get the words together and you start to feel like you want to talk about it, head to wildplanet.com.
And we're asking at this phase, because we have, like I said, opened it up to volunteers, the more prepared you can come, the quicker we can move forward with you. So if you had the type of proposal about what you had in mind and maybe some future as far as who you'd invite or what kind of content you would share, we would be more than happy to look and see where we could showcase.
It's exciting to have a launch for a whole new medium for the community to trade ideas and gossip.
Absolutely.
And music.
Absolutely.
Which we all never get enough of. What are your thoughts about, what is Wild Planet playing now? How much of that is local?
I would say a good part is local. And like I said, we have some of these the separate featured programs for segments. So we have hosts that host a show similar as what we're doing here. That one of our shows, I believe Samuel, he plays as much local gay music as he possibly can, LGBT music. We fill it into the stream as far as what we're offering as far as variety. We've decided to pick some fun things from the good old days. We have a mandatory Madonna Monday, which in celebration, Miss Madonna is coming back to Portland for the first time since 1985 this October. I think pre-sale tickets go on sale today to Madonna only members, making it a fun flow.
That sounds great. Is it too mean to hope that the only things that Madonna plays is actually from 1985?
Wouldn't that be great, though? I mean, seriously, who doesn't miss Like a Virgin, right? But we've really tried to be as open-minded as we have about the flow. I mean, Bobby is a very, very, very professional radio player that has an idea of how to keep people interested and entertained on a top-level market. So there is a lot of really good audio production that's mixed together. My best example to share with people, because everyone keeps asking me, what type of music do you play? I tell them, it's music that I put on any place that I've ever been, through a barbecue, house cleaning, or a dinner party, and everyone thinks it's great. So, I mean, it just really flows together. And also, like I said, we've decided to do a couple of different showcase spots here and there. We were doing a new Music Tuesday every week where we invited a different LGBT local member to come in and play some music. We're hoping to go forward on some of those ideas. But we're really just trying to make it a nice, positive, comfortable flow with different types of music than you hear on mainstream radio.
Well, we'll see if we work together, Out Loud and Wild Planet, and see if we can get an interview with Madonna.
Let's do this. Actually, I've already got my feelers out. She's going to be performing at the Moda Center, and I've put in a few requests for Elton John and those things. And luckily, we have some bigger friends and bigger radio that every now and then hook us up with that. But if we get her, you can definitely come and interview with me. Yes?
Wonderful. All right, that's Wild Planet Radio. You can find Wild Planet... wildplanet.com. And soon, not quite any day now, but almost any day now, 99.1.
Yes.
On the FM dial. We are KBOO. This is Out Loud. Thomas, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you so much for having us again. We are always so happy when we get invited.
Yeah. And we have folks who are involved in the production of the Laramie Project coming up very soon. In the meantime, we're going to hear a little Mina.
Se mi lasci ti tradisco, sì, ma se dormo sul tuo petto, di amarti io non smetto, no. Tu stupendo sei in amore, sensuale sul strappo un tuo lamento, è importante questo mio momento, perché io ti chiedo ancora il tuo corpo, ancora le tue braccia. Chiedo ancora la tua.
Welcome back to Out Loud. Thanks, Thomas, for giving us an update on Wild Planet Radio. We're pretty excited about those folks getting on the FM dial. We're here. You're here with us on Out Loud. We have with us folks who are putting together a production of the Laramie Project at Clackamas Community College Theater. Welcome, everybody.
Thank you. Hello. Thanks for having us.
We have... Oh, why don't you introduce yourselves?
Hi, I'm Jim Ikram. I'm the director of the production.
Mm-hmm. I'm Chris Witten. I'm the scenic and lighting designer for the project.
I'm Anna Franz. I'm the stage manager of the production.
And I'm Sam Levi, the artist in residence at the theater department this year and an actor in the play.
Wonderful. Thanks so much. Tell us about the Laramie Project.
Laramie Project is a pretty unique piece. It's been around for about 16 years now. It's based on an incident that happened in Laramie, Wyoming in October of 1998 when a young man named Matthew Shepard, who is a University of Wyoming student, was taken from a bar, tied to a buck rail fence, and beaten. And he lapsed into a coma. He was taken to the hospital, and a few days later he passed away. The unique thing about this particular assault is that Matthew was in fact a gay student, and there was quite a media frenzy surrounding the incident, and it served as kind of a lightning rod for kind of a national discussion about gay rights right about at the turn of the millennium. And there's this theater production company called the Tectonic Theater Project. And over a period of about a year and a half, they took several trips to Laramie, Wyoming, to see how the town reacted, what was going on with the big media circus out there, and what was going to become of the perpetrators of this awful crime. And when they finished their forays into Laramie, they compiled this play that they called The Laramie Project. And The Laramie Project is 200 interviews, about 70 characters, and it's a terrific, not only is it terrific for bringing awareness to the topic of hate crimes in general, it's also a wonderful tool for us as a theater program to be able to offer this to our students as not only education about responsible social issues, mm-hmm. but also the creation of all these characters, because even though we have about 70 characters in the play, we have about 11 actors. About? No, we have exactly 11 actors. And... and so they are playing between about 4 and 8 characters, many of them. Well, at least 4, and sometimes I think, Sam, you may have as many as 8 characters throughout the play.
Yeah.
And so it's a terrific exercise for the actors. It's been a challenge for the staging. Chris, who is just a fantastic designer, just an excellent designer, has created a wonderful playground for all of our cast and created a wonderful lightscape for this production, because most of the production the actors are performing monologues throughout the whole thing. So in order for us to maintain interest, we have to be, you know, pretty interesting in our staging, mm-hmm. and all of the support from the lighting has just made it flow and retain interest throughout. Not to mention that we have a set that looks like kind of a corral, really. Buck rail fence is a fence that would be recognized all over in ranch countries, in Wyoming certainly. Their trademark appearance is they kind of form the shape of an X, and then they have long poles that establish rails along the fence. And Chris was able to locate these in Boardman, Oregon, yep. and bring them along. And the other thing, fascinating feature of our set design is 4 very, very large telephone poles, weighing probably 500 pounds apiece. They're actual utility poles. So we have we're very proud of our production. We're very proud to present this. Some of the other kinds of activities that we have surrounding this production. We've also teamed with the Matthew Shepard Foundation, which is a foundation that was formed by Dennis and Judy Shepard, who are the parents of Matthew, the young man who was murdered. And we've asked Susan Burke, who is one of their representatives, to come out and lead several panel discussions as well as talkbacks after the shows this coming Friday and Saturday. And I should probably put a quick plug in for when this thing happens.
Absolutely.
So, yeah. So we'll be in our second weekend coming up. We have performances this Thursday at 7:30, Friday at 7:30 with a talkback with led by Susan Burke, Saturday at 7:30, also a talkback with Susan Burke at that time. And then our final performance will be 2:30 on Sunday afternoon. And we also do a matinee in our regular season at 10 a.m. on Fridays of the second week of our production. So there are lots of opportunities to still see the Laramie Project. And we have also put the word out to several organizations in the LGBTQ community. We have representatives from The Living Room, which is a Clackamas County youth organization, as well as GLSEN. And they will be involved in some of the talkbacks this Friday and Saturday. Yeah.
Wonderful. Sam and Ani, tell us what it's like being part of this performance.
Yeah, sure. It's a really great acting opportunity for many reasons, not the least of which is that you can't hardly do this play without examining all of the different angles and all of the different opinions of the people in the town, because you're probably going to have a guttural instinct to how this happened, and it's so easy to fall into one mode of thinking about it. But the way that the Tectonic Theater Project chose to interview people from all different walks of life and with all different opinions, and a lot of opinions that are just vastly different, it's a great opportunity to put yourself into those shoes.
Yeah, I totally agree. I definitely went in expecting it to be one thing and came out finding that it's a whole lot of things. And a lot of those things are opinions that maybe I don't necessarily agree with, but that I don't think in any way that they are, I don't know, what's the word, trying to say that those opinions are necessarily right, that the opinions I disagree with are right. And so it's interesting because I feel so kind of attached to the show. I think it's so moving. And I have discovered so many interesting things about people in our area that I just didn't know before and that I just wasn't expecting, you know. And we got phone calls that I was never expecting to hear about in our area. And I guess I kind of went in thinking that it would be an easier thing. It would be smoother. It would be more widely accepted, and I found that there was more friction than I expected. And on the technical side, that it was much more in depth. There was a lot more going on behind the scenes than I expected there to be. I definitely went in, I read the show thinking, oh, this is monologues, this is going to be great, it's going to be a lot of work for the actors. And then I found that there was also a lot of work for me. And I did a lot of background on what happened in the city while it was all going on. And I just discovered so many things that I didn't know. And that's the thing that I really love about the show, is that it taught me so many things. And I think that there are so many wonderful things for people to learn from this show. And specifically this production, I think that Jim and Chris have done really great things with the show and the set. And I think that some really key points come out and things really shine that should shine. And I really am super happy to be a part of it.
Jim, how much of the text of the play is word for word from the interviews?
I think it's difficult to say exactly, but most of it is verbatim. And you can tell from the writing of it. I mean, they cite the interviews, the 200 interviews, and then additional sources. For example, one of the things that they have, which is a pretty harrowing scene in the play, is they have a transcript from the confession of Aaron McKinney, who is one of the perpetrators of the crime. And that's directly from a tape transcription. You can tell in the writing of the script that there are a lot of stammers and starts as people, so it does have the authentic quality of being related in terms of an interview, as I'm stammering now myself. But so that has been an interesting challenge for a number of the actors. The actors said, you know, this is hard to memorize because there are so many of these little turns of phrases that seem odd as people shift gears in their thinking a little bit. It's not written, you know, in a dramatic line from a literary standpoint.
Sure.
But it is remarkably well put together. It's amazing how I think the Tectonic Theater Project put this show together in a very, very compelling manner, so that a story is definitely told and definitely comes out in a suspenseful way, even though we may know the result of the story. And they have really tried to maintain as much of a balance as possible in the views of the people of the town. And actually, you know, you hear some things from those people, and they're pretty surprising. They're pretty surprising what they say, what people say throughout. And there are several key characters in the play who have a journey throughout. So we really get a sense of kind of the transformative quality of this experience for the people in the town of Laramie.
Mm-hmm. Sam, what is it like to embody characters who are essentially people who were either recently living or are alive, that they're not in any sense truly fictional?
Yeah, I think it adds for all of us in the cast an extra sense of responsibility to be truthful when you know that you're playing characters who are alive today. And it's a wonderful opportunity. And I believe that, as Jim said, even though this play is 16 years old as we sit here today, I have a hunch that this play is going to be timeless.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, unfortunately, but yeah.
Yeah, for a long time.
Mm-hmm. But that is something really cool to be a part of, too. Speaking from, you know, Ani and I, our generation, I mean, her and I are close to the same age. I'm 25 and she's 21.
And Jim and I are close to the same age. We're not 25. 30 and
31.
We're not 25.
Yeah. But just with everything that's currently going on, you know, with marriage equality, you know, being a very pertinent issue, you know, today.
Yeah.
And it's something that from where we're sitting, from where we are in history, it's something very wonderful to be a part of, and to not let this sort of thing be forgotten. And it could be argued in many ways that a lot of that stuff started with this incident in Wyoming.
Ways, yes.
Yeah, in many ways. So yeah.
Yeah, and I definitely, part of what's so interesting to me is to see how many young people come to the show and have never heard the story of Matthew Shepard. They, and so many people that I, and you know, that just honestly don't understand what a struggle it has been, you know, in the LGBTQ community. And in these kind of situations, it's just so interesting to me how little people seem to really understand how hard it's been, and that just 16 years ago this took place, and that now, you know, I do think there's been a lot of change, but I feel like there's still such a long way that we have to go. And that's shown to me by how few people remember this incident, by how little it really has been talked about. And, you know, I think that's why it's so important that the show stay around. That's why it's so important that we do it, you know, because it's really cool to see young people come out and see the show and learn about this thing that happened.
Mm-hmm. Jim, tell us more about the discussions that are coming up.
Right. Well, the Matthew Shepard Foundation was organized and exists through the efforts of Judy Shepard and her husband Dennis, who were Matthew's parents. Susan Burke works for them, and we have commissioned her to come out and lead some of these discussions. The Matthew Shepard Foundation, we got a wonderful personalized letter from Judy Shepard regarding our production, and we have it posted on our bulletin board backstage. And in it, she wants to make it clear that the Shepard Foundation exists not simply because their son was murdered in a terrible manner, in a hate crime, but that hate crimes continue to be prevalent in all sorts of different ways. I mean, in her letter, she mentions hate crimes, specifically bullying, hate crimes that take place on Facebook. And it is really the mission of that organization to bring this to awareness and to do what they can to eradicate it. I mean, their campaign has alternately been called Erase Hate or Replace Hate. Mm-hmm. So, again, in a community college where we have the opportunity to reach not only a lot of students but a lot of members of that community, we all felt that it was a very good choice to bring this show to that community. And we hope to get, of course, people from the whole community. So again, we're very happy to be able to be here to talk about it, mm-hmm. and hope that listeners will think about coming out to see us.
Yeah. We also had a great opportunity to meet Judy recently when
That's
she was
correct.
Matthew Shepard is my friend screening mm-hmm. here. We took the
Matt Shepard is a friend of mine.
Yeah, Matt Shepard. Yeah. That we actually took a whole group of us and went down and had an opportunity to meet Judy there. So it was a great way for students to once again connect into the fact that this is real, not just a play, mm-hmm. but this really happened. Mm-hmm. And how that actually continues to stand on its own feet was just a great opportunity to say, well, here is somebody directly connected to the mm-hmm. story.
So. Sure.
Well, just despite it being a tragic story, it's a very hopeful story too, mm-hmm. and that's part of like what Jim was saying, that he thought it was a good choice to bring mm-hmm. it to the community. It really is a very hopeful story in knowing that he did not die in vain, mm-hmm. And all of this wonderful positive change and discussion that it got people to talk about, even if that's all it does, which certainly it's not. If it just gets people, you know, talking about, you know, my neighbor is ostracized in some way because he or she is different in some way, and that, like, let's at least get people talking about it, mm-hmm. is just it feels great to just to help facilitate that discussion.
Yeah, there's definitely the thread of hope throughout the whole show, and the thing that goes along with that is there's this idea that the dialogue needs to be continued, and that there were so many periods, there were brief moments where people thought maybe the dialogue would end. Mm-hmm. And the Laramie Project, I really believe, is an attempt to avoid the end of this dialogue, mm-hmm. which is that, you know, hate crimes, it's never right. You know, mm-hmm. it's not right. And that civil rights, this is just something that's still going on. These people are still fighting for their rights as people, like, mm-hmm. you know, and it's just crazy to me. So
which makes it kind of a profound experience, because in that letter that Judy sent our department and with the Matthew Shepard Foundation that they send to other productions putting it on, she says in there, I'm paraphrasing, but something to the effect of, when she talks about this play to people that vaguely remember, oh yeah, that gay play, right?
Right.
And that's what's wonderful about it, is it's about more than mm-hmm. that. Yeah. It is about more than the fact that he was a gay man, you know, who it transcends that and, mm-hmm. and goes to people who are feeling marginalized, ostracized, you know, bullied, hated on. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Chris, I want to shift for just a moment, and I'd like to hear from you, similar to the actors, in their sense of responsibility to characters who are based on real folks. You have a responsibility to create a set that's based on an actual place and embody an entire community, the community that contains all of these characters and all of these people in a single set.
Right.
And what was that? And nothing like, you know, so much of, I think the theater that we see where it's, you know, I think the set design is meant to trigger impression rather than location.
Right. Well, with this project, even the script itself calls to the actors to actually be the actual motivation as well as the movement of what happens in the play. So even though we go to multiple locations, the idea that it's actor-driven, that the actors actually come in and place the furniture, that those transitions just become part of the fluid nature of the story. The real challenge, actually, sitting down, you know, Jim, as we envisioned this even from the beginning, because it doesn't say anything at all in the script about where this takes place or how, and it certainly welcomes the opportunity to be as realistic or abstract or imaginary or inimaginary, I suppose, as possible in context to the story. We made a choice to include the pieces the script calls for, which is some media involved in it, which was a part of how do we include this as part of the story in an environment that leaves itself open and available for the audience's imagination as well as the actor's participation in all of those changes. So for us to make a decision to sort of just open up Laramie, Wyoming as an open space and a reflection of what that space is, including the buck rail fences that Jim was talking about, which is came to understand the reason why is because there's so many rocks and the ground is so hard in Wyoming that you can't actually dig post holes and then string wire. The reason they do it is out of necessity. And here in the Willamette Valley, you know, we can put posts into the ground almost by hand. You know, it's so moist and string wire that finding the corral poles was a real challenge to find. Like Jim said, I had to go clear to Boardman, Oregon, to find a company that would actually mill poles for us to build the corral pieces out of.
And free of charge tumbleweeds.
And free of charge, yes. For decorating on the set to say, well, we need some tumbleweeds as well. For those individuals to look at me like, well, if we had known you were coming for the tumbleweeds, we wouldn't have charged you for the poles. There was certainly the need for the media piece in the show itself, and then to say, well, why don't we then just platform that as part of the overall telling of the story, and the play itself is broken into moments, not scenes, and how do we actually utilize that as we've included a pretty significant piece of mixed media with the show itself. So Ani, who not only has a significant amount of light cues that helps to support the story along the way, a significant amount of slide cues as well as video pieces that are just part of really what is the translation and transition of these interviews and the stories together on stage. So it's a real great opportunity to say, well, we can do anything. What should we do? So the opportunity to partner with PGE, who's partners of ours on the Wilsonville campus, to contact them and say, have them say, oh, we'd love to be part of the project, and actually bring telephone poles out to us as well as utility wire and say, okay, well, whatever you need for pieces and put it together, really is exciting for us. But at the same time, as you sit there, it creates kind of a gentle space in which to tell this sometimes very ungentle story. Mm. So it's really been a blast to be part of the to be part of the whole process.
And along the lines, I just mentioned one other element that we've introduced in here, which is a rear screen that we use for projecting this media that Chris is talking about. And we are, I think one of the things that I really love about the set is it is very transformational. It can be all places, anytime, any place at any time, yeah. right? As long as we're in Laramie, right? Okay. But it also constantly reminds us what happened and where we are, because it does feel very much and look very much like the crime scene. So it's always a little reminder of what happened there. And I was thinking more and more as I look at those magnificent telephone poles up there with the wires strung on them, just how these are such a wonderful metaphor for reaching out and communication far beyond that particular isolated spot.
Mm-hmm. Ani, tell us one more thing that surprised you about this, putting this production together.
Oh, God. Well, there were so many things that surprised me. I think one of the things that really surprised me was how much work came out of it. Just behind the scenes for me, trying to find out as much as I could about these people to help the actors kind of get their bearings. I think there was definitely, everybody's playing a lot of characters, so trying to help them figure out ways to designate who they are when, and just trying to help them figure out who these people really were so they could then delve deeper into that character. And
Ani acted as our dramaturg a little bit too mm-hmm.
in the
rehearsal mm-hmm. report. She did a lot of research that was very helpful to us.
And then getting into the booth and dealing with all of the hundreds of light cues and slide cues and just trying to navigate, put the whole thing together. It really surprised me at just how intense it was trying to...
As well as the costume pieces. There was surprisingly amount of costume pieces.
Exactly. With that many people and trying to designate just little kind of accessories that would help us change from a rancher to a doctor.
Yeah.
All right, this is the Laramie Project. Tim, tell us again when and where.
Okay, Laramie Project at Clackamas Community College, coming up this Thursday, Friday, Saturday at 7:30, and Sunday at 2:30. So what is that, 5th, 6th, 7th, and 8th of March. We also have a 10 a.m. Pay What You Can show on Friday the 6th.
And discussions with Susan Burke of the Matthew Shepard Foundation on the 6th and 7th.
Yes, and a panel discussion with members of the LGBTQ community at 1 o'clock on Friday at the school.
Wonderful. Jim, Chris, Ani, and Sam, thank you so much for being here today. Thank you, Boston, for keeping us together. And thank you, listeners, for making radio possible. Hard Knock Radio is next.
Good. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thanks.
Thank you so much.
And you are listening to KBO.